Snap Studios. Oh, snappers, I get to welcome you to my happy space, my place of joy where I can be with my people for the type of conversation we always have, but no one gets to hear. The kind of talk you could only experience after a show. And listeners, please note, these stories do have firearms and fisticuffs. We're about to get into it with my dear friends, Shannon Kaysen, Don Reed, Dino Archie, Joyce Lee, and Dr. Raymond Christian for Backstage 3. To get us started, I'm going to tell y'all a very stupid story of exactly what happened back in when I was little.
Sounds about right.
So, coming up, my mama, she's into two things. She's into Jesus, and she's into health food. Huh. And this is way before wellness, before Goop and lifestyle, farm to table, all that stuff, which means, it means for me, a disaster. At lunchtime at school, if she would come up with stuff like cucumber on rye crisp sandwiches, cottage cheese and celery sticks, the kids would be screaming, howling, falling over in waves. But the worst, the abomination is peanut butter and molasses sandwiches.
No. What?
That sounds so poor.
Tasting poverty. No way.
Peanut butter and molasses. I didn't say jelly. I said molasses.
Depression. Yeah,
exactly. Mama says that jelly is of the devil. And
what?
Yep. Everything delicious is of the devil. And this is unstirred, oily,
unstirred, unstirred.
Yeah. This is peanut glue.
I would have called the cops on your mother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's got to be a crime man. Somewhere.
That's a crime. I would have had you taken away from her. I'm sorry.
So one day I'm with my mama. We're grocery shopping at the Kroger's, and I see her searching for that nasty peanut mess. And I'm thinking, should I? And right when she reaches for this travesty, I give a little shake, like a little shiver. And then she's like, boy, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, that was just a little bit of the Holy Ghost. I thought she would have felt it too. And my mom was like, Holy Ghost? Oh, I see you. You must not have had a discernment.
Oh, Lord.
Right? And I glance over at her face, and I know I hit the bullseye. Discernment. Boy, what you mean, discernment? Well, it's like Pastor said, let Jesus take the wheel, huh? Well, I just got a feeling, Mama, deep in my soul, deep in my soul, knowing that discerning mothers, dare I say, choosy mothers.
Well,
they would choose Jeff.
I can't.
Oh, I say it. I say
so
it.
So many issues.
And there's a rubble double. 5 seconds it lasts. Then she said, boy, come here. Which, of course, in black vernacular means
run away.
Top speed, which I do. Lickety split.
Cool tip.
Hit the road.
My mama chasing me through the middle of Kroger's shouting, I'm twisting the Lord's scripture. And she wouldn't have caught me neither. Except for the fact, you know, I'm 8 years old and I can't drive myself home. And I do receive the licking she promised, but you know, at home, unpacking the groceries with my sore backside, underneath the cottage cheese and the shredded wheat cereal. Ugh. It's a big jar of actual, honest to goodness, Jif peanut butter.
What?
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah,
that's right.
Go. Let's go. The Lord did provide.
Yes, yes. Won't he do it?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Well,
and I say all of that to say this, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ear because today on the Backstage episode, some of the finest storytellers in all the land, the super friends of storytelling, are gathered to consider stories about the most precious institution of all, family. Welcome. So thrilled you're here again. And let's begin. Shannon.
Yes, yes.
Do you have a story to share with us about family?
Oh, yeah. Always, always. I drove from Chicago to Detroit. It's a short, full 5-hour drive, depending on how I want to drive and how I'm feeling that day. But I'm going home for Thanksgiving. And home is Detroit. I'm recently divorced, moved to Chicago. Most of y'all know my ex-wife. I moved to Chicago to create a little distance between me and my second ex-wife. I got a few ex-wives, Cindy. But we still good friends. Me and Cindy still like best friends, you know, so hopefully it'll stay that way. But I felt the green light to kind of move to Chicago because everything was stable in Detroit before I left. Nice home, my daughter Zoe. Glenn know my daughter.
Yeah.
My daughter doing really well, excellent student, confident personality. Everything is good. Home is safe and secure. So, and I'm there all the time too, so I'm always in Detroit. But as soon as I was packing the U-Haul to leave Detroit, my ex-wife's son was packing the U-Haul to move into the house with his family. Her son and his girlfriend, they have 4 kids, so it's a lot of them. And the kids was playing with a lighter, burnt the house down.
Uh-oh. Whoa.
And he moved into his mom's house, my ex-wife. So when I pull up to the house, I open the door, 4 kids bum rush me, little kids yelling, "Grandpa, Grandpa," you know. They running around, screaming, writing on the walls, peeing everywhere, kids pee everywhere. So I'm looking around, make sure there's no lighters or matches or anything around for these kids to reach because obviously you get it. So when I left the house, it was peaceful, tranquil, secure, but now it's I'll be honest, Bebe's kids running around. They invaded the home.
Little arsonist.
Exactly, man. Arsonist. Just be real about it, you know. And
the one who burnt down the other house is in your house now?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's all of them. You know, I can't point to one because I think all of them had a little something to do with it. But when I'm home, I'm home, you know. Man of the house, energy, I unpack, put all my stuff, you know, put my around the house shorts on, walk in the living room, grab the remote, sit down on my couch, you know, and watch whatever I want to watch on my TV. The kids crying because I don't want to watch no Cocomelon or nothing like that. I watch football instead. You know, y'all deal with it. It's Thanksgiving. But it's the more the merrier, so, because it's a full house. The day after Thanksgiving, I wake up early, go downstairs, make my coffee, my morning ritual. I'm only wearing my drawers. That's how I wake up. And this is real. I've been working out. You know, I'm newly single. The young girls, they like the muscles and the gray hairs. You know what I'm
looking good.
What are they, you know what I'm doing. You know what I'm talking about.
Talk to them. Talk to them. How can he solve young heads? Shannon, tell him.
Silver Fox.
How can he solve young heads, man? It's Detroit.
You know what I'm
tell
talking
about.
How
we
know,
doing
Dino,
in Detroit.
I mean, you just got married, so, so happy for you, Detroit. Man. But I'm newly single out of this world, you know? So I'm looking like a young Ving Rhymes in the kitchen. You know,
whoa,
making my coffee. And I noticed my ex-wife's baby boy sitting on the back porch smoking a cigarette. And I'm throwing away the old coffee grinds. And I noticed that the trash bag is overflowing. So I look out the back door to the back porch. You know, he's smoking a cigarette. I say, hey, you see this garbage? Can you get it? Respectfully, respectfully. And he's smoking. He said, yeah, I got it. I make my coffee, go walk around the house, you know, fix a squeaky door or something. That's what I be fixing stuff when I'm at the house. And after a while, I walk back in the kitchen for a coffee refill, and I notice that the garbage is still there, overflowing.
Uh-oh.
So this that moment, you know, we were just talking face-to-face, eye-to-eye. He said, I got it. I come from, you know, a home where when men talk, you know, your word is your bond. My dad used to have a term, the only excuse is death. So I knock on the door to where him and his girlfriend sleep, and I tell his girlfriend, I say, you know, excuse me, sorry for waking you. And I tell him I need to talk to him outside. And he gets up groggy, comes out the room, and I walk him outside where he was smoking cigarettes. Go ahead.
What's he look like?
I'm 6'3", he's 6'6". He big. He came into his body after, you know, he almost 30. So he a big dude. So we go out to the back porch out where he was smoking cigarettes. You ain't hear me tell you about that garbage? He say, I heard you. I was going to do it when I got up. These young guys, they talk with a mumble. You know, it's all the mumble rap. All that mumble rap.
It is mumble rap. It is.
So I'm like, what you say? You ain't talking to your mama. Speak up. Talk like a man. I ain't hear you, boy.
Ooh.
He like, man, you tripping. And he goes to turn his back on me, walk back in the house. So I pull him back in front of me. And now we screaming at each other. And it's kind of funny because he dressed in shorts and a tee for bed like he playing basketball. He tall, 6'6". And I'm in my drawers. It is cold outside, you know, yelling on the back porch.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to fight him. I just want him to be responsible in the house instead of playing video games all day. Drinking all day, smoking cigarettes all day with four kids looking at him, you know. Become the man of the house. If not for this house, for your own house. And after a while, we go back inside. We start to reason. We start talking. He telling me about, you know, him just being frustrated with life, the house burning down, the kids running wild, the working nights, low pay, and how he's always tired. So I put on some clothes and he poured himself a drink from the bar. Actually my bar. You know, it's still early in the morning, but it's the day after Thanksgiving. My bar. Exactly. My vintage bar from the, I mean, you know, I'm bragging on my bar. That's from the movie Goodfellas. I can't take it with me. It's still at the house because I'm in an apartment right now. I'm in that divorced guy apartment, you know, that one bedroom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody know that apartment.
I love
apartment.
That, too.
Start you know over. That apartment.
Yeah, we all been there. I wasn't even married when I lived there.
Actually, my liquor that he's drinking, this Detroit Distillery bourbon, is good bourbon. I like bourbon. Ray know what I'm talking about. But then I say, all this talk, you know, I say, you know, but that garbage still there. You got to get that garbage, man. And he get mad because he's sharing his bitter life story for the pity party, and I'm still focused on the garbage. But I come from first things first, you know. And he's like, you don't even live here. And I'm like, I'm always here, even though I'm not here.
Oh, wow.
You know, matter of fact, you drinking my Detroit Distillery bourbon from my vintage bar from Goodfellas. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
So we start screaming on each other.
Oh.
The slow burn part, you know, back and forth. And by now, the whole house is up. His girlfriend, my ex-wife, the four kids, all under 10. Zoe, my teenage daughter, the cat, you know. And we arguing about the garbage. And at one point, he was, like, screaming at the top of his lungs, and he, like, stuck out his face to scream louder. And I know it wasn't right, but I slapped out of I did, after the slap, we standing face to face. He's tall, he's big dude. He threw a short jab that connected.
Oh, now he's giving specifics.
Yeah, like a short jab that connected too. He's 6'6", you know, his arms long. It wasn't too hard, but it was a good punch. I was like, I was impressed. I was actually impressed, you know, right in my lip.
Hey, I'm not mad at this, man. At least he didn't let you Chris Rock it.
Exactly. Oh, Chris Rock should have did something. I agree with you.
I said it.
I was impressed.
I said it.
Oh, my goodness.
So, in my mind, I was like, I either got to back up from him or like close in on him. So I closed in, I grabbed him, and we fell back on the dining table, flattened the dining table to the floor.
This is a brawl.
I got my lick back. Just one. I ain't hit him hard. You know what I'm saying? Just nothing crazy. But my daughter, she said something that I thought was like the perfect thing. She said, "This is so stupid. Go ahead, tear up the house. I'm going to my room." You know, she just called it stupid. Mm. I was like, "Yeah, probably she right." You know. So he got up and he said, "I got something for you." And he ran out the house to his car and drove off. Mm. Now, I keep weapons in the house.
What?
Oh, God.
There's a few things that I consider for a safe, secure house in Detroit. You know, you got reinforced doors. You got the ADT alarm system. You got the Nest video system recording 24/7. And guns, all registered, legally purchased, you know.
Yeah, brother.
So when he left the house to leave to get in the car and say he going to get something for me, I wouldn't just go sit around and just wait for him to go get something, you know, see what the something go be. I holstered up, you know. I stayed holstered up for that little time. And I started to clean up the house, fix the table. It was a wood table, easy, nothing, hammer, nails, screws, drill. I just fix it up and turn on the TV on Cocomelon for the kids and my
wait. You strap.
It ain't like they ain't seen fights before though.
It's... You strap turning on Cocomelon.
Yeah. It's the East Side Detroit life. You know?
He's tidying up while he's strapped up.
So my ex-wife was gonna leave the house. Cindy was gonna leave the house, go get some eggs, cook for the Thanksgiving. Like after Thanksgiving, breakfast is good. You know what I'm saying? She gonna make her after Thanksgiving like leftover omelets or something. And it's not the end of the world. So I left with her to go to the store just to talk about everything that happened. And Cindy was happy that someone stood up to her son. He had been bullying around the house and smoking in the living room, like smoking all through her house and drinking every day and taking the keys for the car and be gone for days. It was just too much. He needed to man up in some ways. So while we were gone, Cindy got a call from her son's girlfriend. And her son was back at the house, and something that he had brought back to the house was a gun. And he was looking for him. So we immediately returned to the house. The biggest thing was like the kids in the house. You know, my daughter in there, all his kids. So with no delay, I ain't got no training. I'm going to be real with you. I ain't no huge trainer. I go to a range or something, you know. But I drew the gun, cocked it. And it's all dangerous with the people in the house and the kids in the house. Very, extremely dangerous. What? And I'm walking through the door like I done seen in the detective TV shows and movies, you know. Loaded gun, drawn, ready. I don't know what I'm doing. And as soon as I walk in, I hear something drop, and he yells out, I dropped the gun, I'm done. And he's speaking clearly this time. And I saw the gun on the floor, and I saw his hands up. I picked the gun up from the floor, and I held both the guns in my hand, my fingers off the trigger, of course. And he still had his hands up. And I don't know. It looked like with his hands up, like he was asking for a hug. So I hugged him.
Oh.
And we hugged for a second. And that was it.
Oh.
Then he left the house again. I unloaded the guns. I went to the kitchen for another cup of coffee. Leaned against the counter. Noticed the trash was still overflowing. So I just took it out myself.
Mm. Whoa. That's a family story.
Hell of a story.
And that's right on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a regular old Thanksgiving dinner, man.
That's a Detroit Thanksgiving.
Family story.
I don't know.
I ain't gonna put that over.
Guns being drawn. But wow.
Yeah. Almost a shootout Thanksgiving. Story. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you. Can we have a postscript? What's going on with y'all now?
I'll be real. We talked a little bit afterwards, but it's not any heavy contact. And it's a challenge. But I think time, life, everything will create understanding over time. But we did talk, and I talked to his dad, too. So it was like we had some conversations. I took up a boxing class too. That's
good thinking.
I started boxing training. It's good exercise. You know what I'm saying?
I have a question. Shannon, if you could have done one thing, just one, differently in the situation, what would it have been?
You know, Joyce, I got a lot of guilt too for not being home. You know, divorce is hard on everybody, and honestly, you know, I talk all that, like the man in the house type stuff, but I ain't there. You know, you get what I'm saying? So I'm not home.
Yeah.
So walking in, I might have had too much pride too, you know, in walking in the home. I probably would have just took out the garbage myself and just left it at that. Because his and my ex-wife's relationship, that's their relationship. I don't have to come in and fix anything, but I think I had that mindset still, like I gotta fix everything, and I got that pride of, you know, like most of the stuff is the stuff that we got together or whatever, but that's not my place anymore in a lot of ways. You know, I'm there for whatever, but I have to know my place within where I'm at in life right now, where we at in life.
Yeah, man, that's all your stories are real, and this is a nothing short of that, man. And I think both you, that's just a really shows you how much people are on edge. Like, you have what's going on with you, and then he has what's going on with him. And, you know, yeah, when those two things clash without communication, you know, you could grab the strap. It could go all the way there, you know.
It's
but
true.
It's true. It could go over there over something so petty as in taking out the trash. When it's not about the trash, obviously. But yeah, that's right. I'm glad y'all worked it out. No, yeah, I respect.
The craziest
I'm glad y'all
thing,
it
you
out.
Know, in Glenn was talking about the Holy Ghost and the Spirit and everything else. I left with Cindy. I often think, like, if I'd have been in the house and he'd have just came in with the gun, what would have happened? You know what I'm saying? Because his heat might have been up at that time. Mm. And but I left the house to go get some eggs. You know, if I hadn't, you know, I think about that too. But I'm happy.
They gave him time.
Yeah, he thought about it with all the kids there and everybody else, and it wasn't that serious. You know, But. But everything will work out. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you for your ear. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Man, hell yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Thank you, Shannon.
Yeah, that's personal.
Wow. Dino, tell us a completely different type of story, please.
Yeah, you know, my story, it don't have a lot of guns in it, but it's more, it has two more or less guns than Shannon's, but it's more dangerous because my story's about petty grudges that lasts a lifetime. And those kill you slowly.
Oh, Snap Judgment is about to get petty with the king of the low road, comedian Dino Archie. Stay tuned. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Welcome back to Snap Judgment, Backstage 3. When last we left, Shannon Kasin had finally taken out the trash, and Dino Archie was just getting ready to take us to Fresno. Snap Judgment, Backstage 3.
This story, I hadn't seen my family because I live in Canada because of lockdown. I hadn't seen my family in Fresno, California in over a year. If I got a new wife too. So much happened in a year. I got a whole wife. So I said, I wanted to come home, and I said, I'm going to do 10 days in Fresno because I always go for a short amount of time. It's never enough time. I got a huge family, 10 days in Fresno. So I do the group chat to the cousins. I said, let's do bowling. I invite all the cousins. I forgot my Uncle Jason is in that group chat because he's our age. I got a huge family. My Uncle Jason's younger than me. I used to babysit him. And so I texted him. I said, hey, let's go to bowling. This is going to be the best way to connect with everybody. So I have some time to kill. So I said, I need to get some thermals. It's cold. You guys know what thermals are? You guys know those little cowboy pajamas?
Yes.
You know,
that's Long John's. That's a regular thing.
Survival. Yeah.
Long John City. Okay. We used to do basketball shorts. Like every black person had a pair of hoop shorts underneath their pants.
Even if you can't
no
hoop.
No matter what.
Like I did.
Right? Even if you can't hoop. Obama had some at the inauguration. He had basketball shorts. You could see the string hanging out. I was at the inauguration. We wear basketball shorts in the summer and long johns in the winter. So I'm with my wife, my little sister, and my mom. And they said, let's go with you. We're going to find some thermals. That's too many chefs in the kitchen.
Yes.
And so, you know, I'm going everywhere except finding long johns. My sister, you know, she's being a little annoying. And I said, hey, do you know what long johns are? I just asked her, and she snapped. She goes, don't scream at me. Do not yell at me like that. It was crazy. Because this is how we talk. We, growing up, it's like, yo, if you're annoying, we just tell you. Just, you know, that's our love language. Now she shuts down on me. I said, okay, she must be doing an act out. This is funny. We get in the car, still silent. Go back home. She gets out of the car, leaves without a word. I said, this is some great commitment to this joke. This is brilliant because, oh, my God, like, I got to respect this. So I get in the house. It's my mom and my wife. I said, is Lauren really mad? That's my little sister. They say, yeah. My mom said, yeah, she's sensitive. You know, you might want to apologize to her. I said, oh, my God. I'd love to apologize to her because I just learned how to apologize.
I can't.
I just learned. So I text. I said, I take full accountability. I didn't yell at you, but whatever it was, I'm sorry. Will you go bowling with me? Don't not bowl with me. Just come bowl with me. She said, I'll see you at bowling. I said, all right. Now, fast forward. We're bowling. None of my cousins show up. Mm. Just two because my Vanessa had her 60th. She's going to win any day. That's cool. Lauren shows up. She's still pissed. She's not talking to me, but she showed up. And Uncle Jason, he t- tells me that my aunts are mad at me because they didn't get the invite.
To bowling?
Because wow. I send it to my cousin. Well, I just send it to my cousins. It was a cousin thing. But my uncle, he was in the cousin thing. I said, how did my aunts find out? He goes, I told them. I snitched on you. he was bragging about it. Snitching. Like he was Tekashi 6ix9ine. He bragging about snitching. This game, just to jam me up. I love my aunts. I got 6 aunts. So I was going to tap in with them, but bowling was for the cousins. So I said, oh my God, I got to apologize to my aunts. I said, you know, and I'm great at apologies. So I text my aunts. I go, I take full accountability. I didn't text you. I'm so sorry. Right?
A lot of apologies. Accountability is
funny.
Buddy, there's 3 apologies so far. Keep a count. So bowling's horrible. We had a horrible time. It's not a good time, man. The best thing about it was a gutter ball of a time. So I said, you know what? Tomorrow's a new day. I'll give my little sister some time. Surely she'll come around. That was the last time I heard from her on the rest of the trip. So she was done. She's done with me. I apologize in her face too. She was done with me. No worries. So then we're at my mom's house. Home sweet home, right? Your mom. Your safe place. My mom's, for whatever reason, this is different. Something's a little different. Like the breakfast, you know, mama's breakfast is fire. Yeah. Everyone knows that. Man, the potatoes was dry. The swine wasn't cooked right.
The swine wasn't fully cooked right.
It lacked love.
It was missing. It was missing the love. This is my new wife I'm with. Come on, Ma. Put a little razzle dazzle on this. Put some jelly. I don't want no molasses breakfast. What are you talking about? You know? So now I'm like, well, I'm trying to talk with her, laugh with her. She's not laughing at no, my jokes ain't funny. You know when a girl stops liking you? And you used to be funny, man, and now you're just bombing. Everything I said, I'm bombing. She I said, "What, honey? What's going on?" And then she's on her phone. I'm trying to talk to her. She's on her phone on Facebook. Who's on Facebook for you, Ma? What are you doing?
Right.
Who the hell is on Facebook? And you know what she does on Facebook? She posts a bunch of cryptic memes. My mom loves cryptic memes. You got to cut the grass and the snakes will show. I got tagged in one. That's how I found out. I said, she tagged me. And I said, I looked at the phone because she wasn't listening when I was talking. I looked at the phone, ping, and I get the tag. And it said, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. I said, what is this? I said, why did you tag me on it? She goes, oh, that was an accident. I said,
what are you saying?
What's going on? So I didn't want to press the issue. I said, let me just, I've already given out 3 apologies. So I'm just going to, we're staying there for 10 days. So I go, let me just go tap it with my brother, you know, because everything's kind of weird. My older brother, Tizel, that's like, he was like the man of the house, the guy who helped raise me. So I go over there and I say, hey, man, this is kind of the vibe. What's that? He goes, yeah, it is the vibe. You know, it's weird. It's late. I said, how long has it been like this? He said, since lockdown, you know, Ma hasn't been by here, you know, since lockdown. I said, why? He said, you know, my mom and his wife, some stuff had happened, but one of the main things was my mom got a new place. My brother's wife is over there, and my mom offered her the tour. You know, if someone gets a new house and they go, hey, would you like me to show the house? If you don't say yeah, let me tell you something about the tour. There's a hierarchy of insults and bad things that have happened in the world, right? I won't put them in any order, but I'll tell you what, like slavery, right? That's a bad thing. Slavery is not good, right? So, and not taking the tour of somebody when they say, hey, come take the tour.
Such an asshole.
And you don't say, you're dead. In my family, you're dead. You're a ghost. You're a ghost. You might as well be Patrick Swayze.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, you take the tour. Just say yeah. So I get both sides. That's what I'm trying to say. And at the end of the day, this is family. They haven't seen each other, and they're both two amazing mothers and people. And I said, you know what? It ends with this trip, man. I'm tired of this. I'm going to be the peacemaker. I'm going to be Dennis Rodman in North Korea when he went there to try to work it out. That's who I'm going to be. I have a goal now of this trip. 10 days in Fresno. Are you kidding me? That's too long. So I come back home, and my mom, that's when she, I was like, yo, is everything okay? Then she tells me, I have anxiety. You know, I'm medicated for it. I said, how long? She goes, the whole time. I said, wow. So, you know, that kind of hit me a little bit, because in my head, my childhood was fun. Mm-hmm. We was having fun, but she wasn't. So I said, wow, okay. Me being the toxic, loving son that I am, I said, let me introduce you to my friend, drugs. Weed, to be specific, you know, and we take a mother, a son trip to the dispensary. And I get the most knowledgeable weed doctor dude, you know. And he's breaking it down, and the milligrams, and this one is for anxiety. This one is, you know, if you can't sleep, this one, you know. And she gets the whole package. And then we go back, and we start having some fun. I'm like, this is going to be, yeah, now we're going to get back in the groove. Hey, I'm having fun. We're laughing. So I use this as a good opportunity to build a bridge. I said, you know, I was over at my brother's. You know, I know, you know, you and, you know, Cherie, they don't, you guys, you know, why don't you guys hang out? Are you, she goes, well, you know, she didn't take the tour. I go, I get it. I understand. Wow. I understand. But would you be willing to talk, you know? Because I think she wants to talk. I'm sure you guys miss each other. Would you be willing to clear the air? And my mom said, she said, looked me dead in the eye and said, family doesn't clear the air. Enemies do.
Whoa.
What the hell does that mean?
What?
She hit you with the meme.
She's talking to me. She's talking with me. Yo, she's talking to me.
She hit you with the meme.
She went for me.
What part of Facebook did that come from?
The dark web. The pettiest part of Facebook.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm sitting here like,
I don't know what that means. That's a riddle, man. She is a riddle. And then I was like, I don't know where to begin with that. So I guess that's the end of peace talks, you know?
All right, friends. Will Dino ever be able to clear the air? This is not over. Backstage 3 returns in just a moment. Welcome backstage from Snap Judgment. My name is Glenn Washington. I'm here in the corner with storytellers Joyce, Don, Ray, Shannon, and when last we left, Dino Archie was home in Fresno on a peacekeeping mission that had gone off the rails. Snap Judgment, Backstage 3.
I go to bed defeated, man. It was like, oh, man, that did not go. It went very much like the Dennis Rodman
he's talking.
Now I get him. I get how hard what he tried to do was. And, you know, and the rest of the trip, I'll land my plane here soon, but the rest of the trip, I'm dissenting. Where you're like, man, this sucks, man. I really do like my family and I miss them, but this isn't feel like family. And my mom is like, you know, kind of icing me, kind of giving me the silent treatment. It's very odd. And my new wife, you know, my newlywed wife, and she's feeling bad because she's like, I don't know, man. So I'm defeated, man. I'm like, you know, I actually don't want to be here in Fresno. This place does already kind of sucks. And, you know, I don't have friends, so I've trimmed all the fat. it's all bone now. And I'm like, okay, I want to leave. But I'm not going to give up on my mom. She didn't give up on me, so I hung it out and took her to dinner, you know, treated her, you know, I appreciate you, thank you, you know, still something's just not, it's not fully on the up and up. And I before I go to sleep, I say, hey, good night, you know. My wife goes, hey, good night. She doesn't say nothing. She's in the corner of her living room, and the blue light from the phone is just on her face, and she doesn't acknowledge. And I'm leaving in the morning. I'm leaving the next day, actually, but she doesn't acknowledge it. I go in the, you know, I'm freshening up for the night, brushing my teeth, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, what is it about? What's going on? This dynamic has changed, you know, and it's almost like she doesn't like me. You know, it's like when you realize your mom doesn't like you, it's very funny. And I looked in the mirror and I looked just like my dad. Like we both had the same color eyes. We're both the same guy probably. And so I realized like she's looking at me sometimes like I owe her child support from 1983. You know what I mean? Like I'm aging. Yeah, I'm aging because they divorced and they didn't end well. So I'm aging. I'm 40, so I probably look like my dad. I'm doing this math in my head and I'm like, this isn't good math. She didn't even say goodnight. She's pretty much, you know, yeah, I've tried, man, and I'm done, you know. When I get up, I'm leaving in the morning. That's just kind of, I have to protect my mental health. What about toxic guys' mental health? I got to protect mine. I've been apologizing all this trip. All I've done is apologize and not had fun.
Beautiful.
I wake up, my wife wakes me up. I said, hey, we're just leaving. So get your stuff and we're going. And then she said, I think your mom's cooking breakfast. I go, man, hell no. I'm not eating breakfast. You know? No. And then so, because she's giving me nothing. I've been trying, but she's giving me nothing. She knows I'm leaving. She knew last night. It is what it is. Either way, I'm a lover no matter what. But this trip just didn't go well. So I get up. And she's cooking the breakfast. She goes, oh, I cooked breakfast. I said, I'm not hungry. She goes, okay, throws it in the trash.
Whoa.
Ooh. I said, not a problem. Where's the dumpster? And I empty the trash. Like Glenn, like Shannon, how you wanted your guy to do. Not a problem.
Wow.
I'll throw this. You throw it in the trash, I'll throw it in the dumpster. We could get petty.
All right.
I learned it from the best. So I take it. I said, where is it? Show me the dumpster, you know? And then she walks me out. I throw it in the dumpster. And I had already been trying to talk for 9 days, so I don't got much to say. And I'm starting to pack. And she goes, hey, did you have a good time? I said, no, I had a horrible time. I said, but either way, I miss you guys, and I love you guys. And it's, you know, it is what it is. Not every trip has to be great, you know? And she said, why? I said, I don't think you want to listen, you know? She said, no, I do. I said, yeah, I'm trying to make things happen for, you know, build bridges and, you know, and the enemies. I said, I still don't even understand what that means. Family doesn't air things out. Enemies do. I said, what does that mean? How can I, you know, if you hear something like that, that makes you feel a certain way. So she said, it's important. You're important to me. I didn't notice how you failed, and we had a heart to heart, man. And so I left on a good note. I didn't solve the peace talk at that time, I had a horrible time, but, you know, I know that my mom, she might not like me right now, but she loves me. Mm. And that's all your mom and your family's job is their duty is to love you. They don't got to like you at all times, but they do got to, they should love you. And she definitely does and did. So, you know, that's, yeah, then I got the hell out of Fresno. The end.
This is a terrible story.
Marvelous.
This is a terrible story, you know.
No resolution. No, the moral of your story parents is... gotta love you. You don't have to like.
Yeah.
That's kind of like
that. That you should There's a lot of morals. Fresno.
There's a lot of morals in that. Is that's why I said no good deed goes unpunished, and the Lord's work isn't easy, and you know, those are some of the themes in it, and there, I do have an update though, you know, because my mom, she didn't talk to me after that, you know, and I was the one always calling her and all of that, and I started looking at the phone line. I go, you know, when it's always going out and nothing coming in, it makes you feel a type of way. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just chill. I'm taking Mother's Day off. How about that?
Ooh, you didn't.
Oh, I sent a message, man, but not flowers. Last time I was sent flowers and gifts and all that, and I'm like, I'm broke. No. No Mother's Day gifts. But she called me. She called me, and I said, hey, my house, I'm having a great Mother's Day. I miss you. I said, that's good. I miss you, too. I'm glad you're having a good time. Mm. And then she said, and also, I sat down with, you know, Cherie, my sister-in-law, her daughter-in-law, and they worked it out. And they cleared the air. So there is a good story. It happened later, and I didn't get any thanks for it.
It's hilarious.
But it still happened. So, no, there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
You pushed the ball down the hill. It took a minute for it to get down there, though.
I know, man. Wow. I told you guys it was going to be what it was.
Isn't another moral to the story, always take the tour?
Always take the tour. Always take the tour.
Always take the tour.
Absolutely. The tour.
Thank you guys for listening and
helping
walking me through that.
I just want to thank everybody. This was great. Thank you for taking us inside the backstage episode. Backstagers.
Yeah.
That's right.
Another classic. Another classic.
That was Backstage 3. Thank you to all of our storytelling family. Dino Archie is tearing up the comedy world with a brand new special that is finally on YouTube. You've got to hear it. Toxic but safe. You can laugh yourself silly. Joyce Lee, she's got a book coming out. Don Reed is touring his one-man performance, The Never Too Late Show. It is amazing. Ray Christian is combining forces with The Moth for the return of his podcast, What's Ray Saying? Get ready for that. And you can hear more of Shannon Kaysen's brutally honest storytelling on his podcast, Homemade Stories. You can see our show notes for details on all of it. And always remember, and never forget, family doesn't clear the air. Enemies do. Thanks to Snap Public Enemy number one, Mark Ristich. Backstage was produced by Domingo Montoya. Music by Pat Machine Miller. The original Backstage episodes were produced by Nika Singh. And once a snapper, always a snapper. We miss you, Nika. See? Life is a story, and stories are life. If you need the magic of storytelling to change your world, to make you sexier, faster, to set you on a fast track at your job, to give you clearer skin and confidence, to stare down your enemies, if you want all of that, just get the Snap Judgment Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. And did I mention Snap's evil twin podcast, Spooked? It's available everywhere right now. The story behind the story, Snap's on the Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Snap is brought to you by the team that buys Wonder Bread for any peanut butter sandwiches they might make. Health be damned. Except for the Uber producer, Mr. Mark Ristich. He bakes his own bread. There's Nancy Lopez,
Pat Mesiti Miller, Anna Sussman, Renzo Gorio, John Facile, Shayna Sheely, Teo Dakot, Marissa Dodge, Bo Walsh, Flo Wiley, David Exume, Regina Bediaco, and this is not the news. No way this is the news. In fact, you could chase your own grown adult stepson around the house with a loaded firearm. I wouldn't advise it. But you could do this, and you would still not be as far away from the news as this is. But this is PRX.